You may have heard that most people who are black have O blood type. O is commonly needed for emergencies, but did you know 1 in 3 of us is a match for patients with sickle cell disease? Regardless of blood type, every day our blood saves lives and eases the pain of those living with sickle cell. Donate blood at Red Cross to help us save a life. Black excellence is in our blood. Visit redcrossblood.org/ourblood to make an appointment now.
Okay, real talk. When did paying someone back become social media?
What do you mean?
Let's say I'm trying to lurk on you. You know, see what you're doing and who you're doing it with. I can stalk your pay app and find out what you're doing.
Oh, yeah. That's kind of weird. You do that?
Not anymore. I use Apple Cash. It's built into your iPhone, easy and secure. You can send and receive money right in messages, so no public feeds. And the money is immediately available to use with Apple Pay.
Babe, did you just send me a dollar on Apple Cash?
I just said our cash isn't content. Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Terms apply. Just because you see people in the parking lot don't mean they don't got shit to say.
And this parking lot pimping is not the pimping you probably think it is. Deadass.
Deadass.
Hey, I'm Kadine.
And I'm DeVal.
And we're the Ellises.
You may know us from posting funny videos with our boys.
And reading each other publicly as a form of therapy.
Wait, I make you need therapy?
Most days.
Wow.
Oh, and one more important thing to mention. We're married.
Yes, sir, we are. We created this podcast to open dialogue about some of life's most taboo topics.
Things most folks don't want to talk about.
Through the lens of a millennial married couple. Deadass is a term that we say every day. So when we say deadass, we're actually saying facts. 100. The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. We about to take pillow talk to a whole new level.
Deadass starts right now.
Before we get into our guests, I want to tell this story. I was a little bit upset about this story, but I did understand what was happening. So I'm going to, you know, explain a little bit.
Okay.
In 2020, this was after Kobe's passing. Who else had passed?
Pop Smoke
had passed. George Floyd was murdered. And also Chadwick Boseman. Had died that summer. It was just a heavy, heavy year. And Kadine and I had decided that we were going to dedicate that season of the podcast to the socioeconomic and sociopolitical unrest that was happening in America during that time of 2020 that was sparked by George Floyd, but also Breonna Taylor, also Ahmaud Arbery. There were so many events that happened at that time. And for that season, we interviewed Sean King, My Son, the General. We interviewed at the time who was Vice President Biden. This was before he won the presidency from Donald Trump. But we had interviewed a bunch of different people dealing with socio-political and socio-economic issues. And not for nothing, that was our lowest listened to season to date. Like it was our, the funny thing is our highest listen to episode was the episode we talked about pressure, which is when we talked about sex.
In the midst of the season.
That was our second episode. But it was just funny to me that when we chose to speak about things that were dear to us and dear to our community, that people stopped listening.
Right.
And before we get into, first of all, I guess who I'm excited about being here.
Ditto.
I just want to give a little bit of my idea of why the numbers were down. First and foremost, I felt like people just needed a break. You know, we released that season at the end of 2020. So we'd already dealt with a lot in the beginning of 2020.
Oh, yeah, it was heavy because everything kind of kicked in March.
Yeah, everything kicked in March.
January with Kobe, but yeah.
Yeah, so we released that season, I believe, in September, September, October. And I feel like people were just fatigued because they were watching CNN every day. They were listening to all the pundits speak. And
everyone
I feel
was
like
home.
It was, yes,
it
everyone was
like no
home.
Escape.
It was a lot.
Yeah.
It was a lot. And I feel like they were looking for an escape. So that's why our numbers were down. But I am interested in asking our guests when we come back from break her thoughts about
it.
So
it'll be interesting.
We're going to take a quick break.
Okay.
And when we come back, Kay's going to introduce our guests.
Sounds good. Stick around, y'all.
K Kay decided that we were going to start a new karaoke trend.
Yes.
And the karaoke trend is not going to, well, the karaoke song is no longer going to be related to the topic.
Yeah.
Because sometimes we just feel in the vibe.
That's a fact. And sometimes we've been having a hard time trying to figure out a song that correlates to the topic. Because a lot of times it doesn't even really correlate.
It
just might have one or two words that make sense.
Yes.
Like today I was like, oh, parking lot pimping. We should do Big Pimping, right?
Well, you supposed to surprise them with the song.
Oh.
That's why I don't let you do karaoke.
But you said we were going off of vibes. I thought you were going to do the other song that we were talking about that we fell asleep to last night.
All right, so since we're going on vibes and Kay already fucked up the introduction for Parking Lot Pimping, we're going to go with the other song that we fell asleep to last night.
Or we could do both. I mean, we can
make
our own rules.
What song we fell asleep to last night? Because I was asleep, so I don't remember.
Girl.
Oh, gosh. All right.
Okay.
Go ahead, you start it. This is your song, bro.
I can tell you how I feel about you night and day. How I feel about you. That's all I know.
So the reason why she's singing this song is because there's a part in the song
shout
where it comes
to
the bridge and the break. And he just goes, girl. And that is my favorite part of the song.
And I don't know why we find that part so funny, y'all.
Go listen to Albie Shore's song.
Yes, right? Night and Day.
Night and Day. And there's a part in it where he goes, girl.
Over and over again.
He says it twice.
Is it just twice?
In the bridge.
It felt like it was over and over again.
Feeling about you. Night and day. Girl.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Listen, y'all. Losing two loved ones in a matter of 6 months, it can be a lot. And a lot of times when you're dealing with grief, you have a lot to get off your chest with your family.
That's absolutely right. You know, people carry around all different types of stresses, big and small. When you keep them bottled up, it can start to affect you negatively.
And therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to kind of figure out how to work through whatever is weighing you down.
If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/deadass today to get 10% off your first visit. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/deadass.
Hey, what's good, y'all? I think it's important for you to understand why Black representation in media is important. It's important because the media represents how people view us. And it's important that they understand that Black people are not a monolithic people.
That is a fact. And the next generation of influential Black voices can be found on NPR's new collection, Black Stories, Black Truth.
Black Stories, Black Truth is a celebration of Blackness from NPR. Each of NPR's Black voices are as distinct, varied and nuanced as the Black experience itself. Every episode is a living account about what it means to be Black today, told from a unique Black perspective. From Bobby Shmurda to The Wire, Michelle Obama to reparations, there's no limit to the range of Black stories, Black truths.
Black perspectives haven't always been centered in the telling of America's story. Now they are the story.
In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection of some of NPR's best podcast episodes celebrating the Black experience.
Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR, wherever you get your podcasts. Okay, real talk. When did paying someone back become social media?
What do you mean?
Let's say I'm trying to lurk on you, you know, see what you're doing and who you're doing it with. I can stalk your pay app and find out what you're doing.
Oh, yeah, that's kind of weird. You do that?
Not anymore. I use Apple Cash. It's built into your iPhone, easy and secure. You can send and receive money right in messages, so no public feeds. And the money is immediately available to use with Apple Pay.
Babe, did you just send me a dollar on Apple Cash?
I just said our cash isn't content. Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Terms apply.
All right, ladies, let's be real. Who here actually enjoys shaving their legs? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought so. And get this. Nair, yes, Nair, the OG that I used for years, has now leveled up. And they have these new sensational shower creams and body creams that smell amazing. My personal favorite,
coconut oil, and vitamin E because it's gentle on my skin, and down to the body cream, rich cocoa butter and vitamin E body cream, which is a modern take on indulgent and classic femininity. Okay? It works in as little as 3 minutes, no nicks, no cuts, and the smooth skin lasts days longer than shaving. Nair's new sensational shower and body creams are free of all those nasty chemicals, so you can feel good about what you're putting on your skin. Have a me time moment with Nair, the number one hair removal brand. Smell for yourself. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams available at retailers nationwide and online.
All right, we're back. And I'm going to introduce our guest so that way she can kind of chime in because she's been listening behind the scenes to the story.
Yes.
And we want to get her two cents about why she thinks that was happening then and what it looks like now in the scope of 2023. We're still dealing with a lot of things. I think we're always dealing with something.
Always.
When it comes to socioeconomic and political issues. But today we're parking lot pimping, y'all. And if y'all, if you didn't know what parking lot pimping was, baby, you don't need a car for it. You don't. You don't. You just need to be there. Lanae Vinay is a writer, poet, and content creator whose social media series Parking Lot Pimping seeks to inform and educate Americans, especially us, our people.
Us.
About the social and political issues affecting our communities and the world as a whole. The series is posted on Fridays. And as Lanae says at the beginning of each video, she's always keeping it very black and very brief, which I appreciate. Parking Lot Pimpin' has been so influential in getting Black Americans informed that the Vice President, Kamala Harris, made an appearance earlier this year to talk about gun reform.
Mm.
Baby, credits, okay? The series has gained Lanae two NAACP Image Award nominations, and she's here to talk to us today.
Clap it up, clap it up.
What a company to be in.
I can't clap.
What a space to be in.
If I clap, Triple going to be mad if I clap, but
yeah,
I'm air clapping for you. But Lanae, we are so proud of
yes,
you
and so
proud to have you here. Like, this is just, I'm going to get out of your way. And
yes.
I want to ask you a question.
Okay.
Our content, the engagement dropped when we started to speak on socio-political issues.
Mm-hmm.
As someone who is primarily in that arena, why do you think that happens when, quote unquote, entertainers, because I consider us to be entertainers,
mm-hmm.
when entertainers choose to show people how they feel about political issues, why is it like a dismissal?
Yeah, I think it's really interesting. And I also think you hit the nail on the head, especially during the time you guys specifically released that season. I do agree. People probably wanted a break. But also because you established yourselves in the pop culture realm, I do believe people might have felt disrupted in a way because they might have come to you guys for some type of relief or release and just to be entertained. And another big thing is for a very long time, our people have felt very distant from politics. And it's really interesting because I've been a scholar of and a lover of Black history all my life. And it wasn't really until I left my master's program and I began to see, as you said, all the things we've been hit with since 2020, I guess experiencing it as an adult on my own, Lord Jesus, that they gave it a different coloring for me. But it's surprising, to say the least, that that has actually been what the bulk of our contribution to American history has been in politics.
But politics, yes. Absolutely.
Still, because we have not yet achieved all the freedoms we want to achieve, that has caused a lot of discontent and willful distancing in our communities from politics. And so I think during that time in specific, we were getting a lot of people on the train. We were getting them to understand you have to be versed. You have to know what's going on so you can step up to the table, so you can be informed, so you can be armed with language, all the things. It's just, it's hard because even as we're doing that, even as we see this influx of so many young Black creatives really getting engaged in the conversation, we're still met with the people in the comment sections. I'm not voting no more because no matter how I vote, it never turns out how I need to. And I'm not doing no lesser of two evils. And I get it. I really do. We are having to do a lot of unlearning and enfranchising ourselves. And that's just hard to do. It's hard to do, especially when politics has always been seen as a quote unquote white people thing, you know, and it can't be that anymore. It can't be that anymore.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think earlier this season, based off of when this episode is airing, we did talk about celebrity influence and them having a say when mm-hmm. it comes to using their platforms, particularly when it comes to politics, right? Mm-hmm. So for right now, for example, with the war happening, mm-hmm. people are looking at certain people of influence with mm-hmm. platforms that have millions of followers to take a stance, whether mm-hmm. it's picking a side, whether it's, you know, towing the line, whatever it is that they're doing, they're looking for that. Mm-hmm. And I think what we did, particularly in 2020, we didn't want to come across as being tone deaf, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, read the room that you're right. in right now. Mm-hmm. How can you just talk about sex and marriage and frolicking mm-hmm. around when mm-hmm. the world is literally crumbling Absolutely. Around mm-hmm. you? So for us to avoid that, we felt like it was just our duty to not necessarily take a side or to be divisive, which tends to happen a lot when you do even try to just educate people mm-hmm. in, you know, a post or giving information. And I love that when I look at your page and I come to your page, it's usually for educational purposes because mm-hmm. I may not understand the right. jargon laden, you know, mm-hmm. terms yeah. that happen with politics. So I think if people are approaching it with more of a let me educate myself kind of perspective versus let me go to the comments to be divisive, mm-hmm. it'll be a lot more beneficial. But, you know, in that moment, we just were like, how do we avoid like not talking about the elephant in the room when mm-hmm. the elephant is in the room?
Right.
You know, have you had moments right. like that even on your platform?
Yeah, I'm actually struggling with it right now. And I'll give some more context to that in just a second. But of mm-hmm. all the posts that I'm seeing that are showing a lot of violence that's going on, that are infographics of what sides are talking about what, right. what might be true and what isn't, I will tell mm-hmm. you the most powerful meme, so to speak, that I've seen is a picture that says, I think the elephant ties the room together. And I thought it mm. spoke volumes because especially with someone like a platform myself, especially you guys, it's just minorities in America, you know more often than not that the elephant that's in the room is a thing that needs to be tackled so the room can be at peace, so the room can be peaceful, right. you know, mm-hmm. and people are saying that they want peace on earth. And it's just really difficult for people to say what they want to say because the reality is their politics can be tied to their careers. And so right now, right. when I say mm-hmm. that I'm struggling with it on my own platform, you know, I have a podcast where I'm connected to two other creators. And while we all are in support of all the things that we're in support of, because our podcast kind of, it is a extension of the Parking Lot Pimping brand, but all of us have roots in whether it's Black studies or advocacy and all the things. I can't just allow my statements to color what they got going on. Also, I work with people. And while I'm thinking about the webs that I'm connected in, I'm also really thinking about what my spirit wants me to do and what I'm being led right. to say mm. in this moment. So I think a lot of people are making the best choices that they can, and I can't speak for anybody else's choices. You know, I've been taking mm-hmm. a minute myself to craft how I want to say what I want to say, because you just have to. It's not a time to be quiet.
Right.
For sure.
Right. I have a question.
Okay.
Where do you, because a lot of people ask me this all the time, where do you get your information? Mm. Right? Denzel Washington had a quote that said, if you watch the news, you're misinformed. Mm. But if you don't watch the news, you're uninformed.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, and then he asked reporters, he said, you know, what a great responsibility you have mm-hmm. to tell the truth. And we're living in an age now where the truth is not as important as being first. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just, let's be first. Let's yeah. get the information out first. And even if it's not true, mm-hmm. well, we got it out first, so we get the clicks. Mm-hmm. Where do you find your information to know and stay informed and know mm-hmm. that the information I got is the right information?
Yeah, because, I mean, you have pretty much essentially created a new version of news media, mm-hmm. you know, right. that makes it super digestible for right. us. And we haven't seen anything like that before, really. So, mm-hmm. like, what made you also, I guess to piggyback on DeVal's question, what made you create Parking Lot Pimpin'? Like, just give us an overview about what it is that your platform is.
So what made me create Parking Lot Pimpin', honestly, was a desire to see Black people really be there for one another, regardless of all the things that I've learned about racism in this country. I've discovered that it's been most successful at dividing our communities, whether it's on the basis of sex, gender, sexuality, mm-hmm. class, all the things. And as much as we want to talk about the white man being the issue, the white man has done a lot of things in our own neighborhoods that we have to attend to before we can be a united front. So I started the Parking Lot to inform my audience on historical things that have taken place that make our communities valuable, period. And pulling back the wool over age-old adages about what certain groups of people are capable of, whether or not they mm-hmm. are valuable in our communities. And so that's where it started. And then as I started to see, whether it was in the news or social media, these different topics taking over the headlines and starting these dialogues, I said, okay, well, I can be informed with what's going on in the news and use these content pieces as opportunities to connect what is going on throughout history to make my point hit home all the more. And that is actually when I saw my content spike. So to your point, I'm always looking in the headlines. I actually have a writing team now. I've got a researcher who's a journalist and a writing partner as well to help me just make sure that I am, if I'm traveling or anything, I'm still abreast of what's going on and I have all the most up-to-date information. And so I'm looking in the news to see what I can pull from, but more importantly, what I think I can tell the best story about, and not just tell a story as in make up something, but what narrative can I craft that I can be proud of, that I know is verified information and all those things, and what I can say that has the most impact for my audience. And so with that, then all three of us also have master's degrees in African American studies. We pull from our peer-reviewed literature. We pull from books that have been certified by the scholars and other things to pad that information to make sure that we're doing due diligence. So it's a two-way street for sure.
That's great. So you get your history from certified outlets. History makes makes the most sense. The biggest issue that people are running into now is, do I listen to CNN? Do I listen to Fox? Do I listen to MSNBC? Like, which newspapers do I read? Because now the biggest thing is everything is fake news. It's all propaganda. So my biggest concern is trying to answer people who ask me the question, like, where do you get your news if you can't trust anything you watch? And I want to ask you, because you are way more educated on this than I am. And I also feel safe in saying that we have a guest on the show who does her due diligence, not only for history, but also current events. Where do you get your news and find out about information and things that's happening now?
Yeah, so I pay a lot of attention to the discussion around my sources as well, like what their credibility has been in the history, and whether it's the history of someone's brand or history period, it's always going to be revealing to you about whether or not you can trust the source of information. And so, for instance, just taking it back to 2020, if you're at a rally, not you don't even have to be at the rally, if you're on Fox News and they're playing a clip of Trump saying whatever about the good people in Charleston, South Carolina, who just ran somebody over with a car, you can look at the history of the good people in South Carolina and let them know that, no, that was actually factually racist, you know? So it's those type of things. You have to be a little bit more well-informed about the history of a thing before you can just make an opinion on what people are saying about it right now. And I think that is the determining factor, because it is difficult. And what I can say that so far, sources that I've pulled from that I trust are people like NPR, the ACLU, Vox, The Washington Post. It can get iffy, so you've got to make sure that you are giving yourself an opportunity to see what folks are saying about the issue itself, because things are also complex. And I think that's the best thing about my platform, and also what I encourage others to do, and that's embrace the nuance of situations and understand that not everything is cut and dry.
Okay, so I didn't want to say, because I wanted to hear you say it, but I had gotten some flack from some of my friends because I do watch CNN, but I also watch Fox. I also watch MSNBC because like you, I'm like, we have to understand the nuance, right?
And the totality. And
then when people speak, like you said, go look at the history of that person. Go look at the history of their words. And have they spoken fallacies in the past? Because then you can see if they've spoken fallacies in the past, this may not be someone I really want to, you know, hold as a credible source. But that doesn't mean everyone on every source is discreditable. Or is that not even a word? Discreditable? You know, or not or not credible.
Not credible.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Not credible. Yes. You know, so.
Not credible.
But I do the same thing. Yeah. I'll watch Fox for a couple hours and see what's going on that side. I'll watch CNN and I'll watch MSNBC.
I would love to know, Lene, what your process is like. Because when you're trying to unpack and then try to find a way to deliver what can be very daunting, complex information that can also be very touchy, depending on like who's listening and what their stance is. Delivery is everything. And, you know, we always talk about with our team, just how we use the gifts to make the gifts that you've been given to make them work for you. And I know that you do have a background in poetry as well. And how do you find that being a poet has kind of led you to be this kind of social media educator? Do you think it's better received or well received based off of how you deliver it?
Absolutely. I can answer that.
Yeah, for sure. Right? And Go ahead. Tell me what you think. No.
I'm going to be honest. When I first came to your page, it was the flow in which the information was coming out, which is what made me pay attention.
Right.
Mm. Right. Because you could be very knowledgeable, but be a dry talking head.
Yeah.
Well, that's true.
You know,
and I listened to all of your videos at least 2 or 3 times just because at first I'm just like, she's so eloquent. I love the way she said it. The flow is great. Like, I look at that portion of it first.
And then it's like,
and then I have to go back and be like, what did she really say? You know, and just be able to like unpack it and digest it. So was that like a major influence in how you started Parking Lot Pimping and getting out information?
And it's interesting you use the words major influence, because I think intrinsically, absolutely. Did I think about it? No. I actually critiqued myself because especially since I started the Parking Lot, I had not had intimate time with my journal, just literally writing poetry. Unless someone was asking me to do it for an event, unless I was getting paid for it, it wasn't something I felt that I was still honing my craft on, until I got a lot of feedback that my videos do feel like poetry for the listener and the audience. And paying attention to my delivery was always something intentional, because as you said, you can be informed, but you can also be a drab. I was a high school teacher for 2.5 years. And one thing a high school kid is going to let you do is know if you're whack.
Yes, that is facts, though. That is facts.
Bruh, because I was not the history head at all in school. I mean, to me, it was just dry. I totally disconnected when it came to social studies and things like that. But DeVal,
I love history.
So that's like
his thing. I love reading books.
Yeah. Like, so where were you when I was in high school history, and where were you when
I was in the information? Girl. So I could bring
she was six
today.
She was six.
I was six.
When you was in high school, she was six. All right,
listen, you don't gotta age me like that. Goddamn. Mm-hmm. So, is there a sorry, I don't know if you had a follow up question or not, but I'm just like feeling the flow of where we're going here. Speaking about African American history and all that, like, what keeps you inspired the most? Because it can just be a lot, especially during the time and like all of the noise. Is there anything that keeps you inspired or just you makes you want to keep going in times like this?
I think it's two things, and I don't want to get too deep on you, but it's just what's on my heart right now. But the first thing is that I love us for real. Like, we say that sentence as a joke, but I am absolutely in love with Black people.
Yes.
I am enamored with what we've been able to do on this earth, and I am in awe of all the gifts that we've been given and the circumstances that we've had. So that's one thing.
Yes.
And the second thing is that it's just honestly something I'm called to do, you know, like conviction, very heavy in my spirit. That this is something that we can't see an end to right now, but if we were to give up, well, our progeny will never see an end to it. So I'm very inspired.
Let me tell you why that's deep, but that's very, very important, right? During the mix of all of that, I wrote a book, a children's book, called The Ellis's in the Time Machine, Why Do We Have to Say Black Lives Matter? And pretty much it was a historical journey where my character traveled back in time with my sons and my wife, and we explained to them from slavery to Black codes to Jim Crow why we have to say Black Lives Matter. But what you said resonated with me so much. I love being Black so much, not because of all the things people think Blackness is. Oh, he's athletic. Mm-hmm. Oh, the sexual prowess of a Black man and a Black woman. No, I love being Black because if you know our history and know everything that we've gone through, to understand the resilience that exists in us as a people makes me love my people. Like, I legitimately feel like I can do whatever I want to do. We took the 23andMe test, and I found out that my ancestors are 80% Nigerian, but they actually walked in the Trail of Tears after the slaves were freed in 1865. And it just made me proud.
Yeah.
You know, whereas as so many other people would feel like, dang, that was my ancestors. We walked miles west. We walked miles west to survive and then build what we have now. I understand what you were saying by being free, but being deep, I get it. But go ahead, I don't want to cut you off. Go ahead.
No, it's fine. And it's funny that you say that, because I was having a conversation with someone and being funny, but being all the way serious at the same time. I said, Harriet Tubman made, I don't know how many trips up and down this United States freeing people. You finna waste her time?
No, for real though.
Dead ass. Are we gonna waste all the people before us time who spent so much time and effort, blood, sweat, and tears for us to be able to sit here today and talk on a podcast? Huh? You gonna waste their time?
Absolutely.
You're nuts. And so I just
crazy.
I feel like I can't waste time. And then also just knowing what we do here today is what's going to be propelling the future generations of us. So that's why I keep doing it. But to your point, it is very exhausting. And I've had to take my own hiatuses. And actually, I've spent the last year investing my time and energy in developing a self-care brand. People have been telling me to make tea, so I'm finally making teas. But set to release this holiday season, and I got to be in community with women who are Gullah Geechee. And if you're not familiar, those are essentially the people here in America that were able to retain all of their West African influence from the period of slavery. Because in Georgetown, South Carolina is where the majority live today, but also in some offshoot islands on the coast. But if you know anything about the different regions of slavery, they grew different things. And in that region, they grew rice. And the way in which you grow rice in large scale is very dangerous. It is dangerous in terms of the infrastructure, but also what the enslaved people were exposed to. And so the lifespan of an enslaved person there was only 7 years, 7 years of labor.
Wow.
But I say all that to say is why people didn't want to be in the mix, risking their lives. And so there were far less overseers, far more people in big, far less people in big houses, micromanaging them. They had task systems. So as long as they met their quotas, they left them alone and they were free to continue their traditions, cultures, foodstuffs, and all the things. And so those women have helped me launch a brand. And I definitely know that I'll be tapping into other cultures in the diaspora to help make my teas. But not only is it the teas, it's the teacups, it's candles, and bath tea as well for you to soak in certain herbs and powders and all the things. So that has also been a part of my story. Like, yes, we have to continue the good fight. Yes, we were made with resilience in mind, but we also have to rest and repair ourselves if we're going to keep going. So
Lene, real quick, I know you get a lot of praise and love from our people, but I also know, and you probably don't post about it, you probably do get hate from the other side.
Yeah.
And when I mean hate, I'm talking to... Okay, so how do you deal with and how do you decide with, regardless of whether the hate comes from people who look like me or don't look like me, how do you decide how you're going to keep going and if you're going to keep going?
Those comments don't really have a place. I think as a human, they hurt. Sometimes they hurt my feelings. Sometimes they're just laughable, but they have no place in what I got going on. You know, I had a conversation. I was able to, blessed enough to have dinner with Miss Tab, and I was just talking to her about Tabitha Brown. I was talking to her about my season in life. And acting with integrity and being honest. And she said that honesty is other people's problem, not yours. And so that that encouraged me in a big way, because if I do feel that I'm putting my best foot forward and I'm sharing truth, that honesty and truth and the inability to deal with it is not my problem. My goal is just to put it out there, to start conversation. And I think that even... that brings me to something else that you didn't ask me, but it's just on my mind to talk about it. We got to know what our roles are. Some of us are not marchers in the street. Some of us are not policy advocates. Some of us don't lobby in courtrooms. Some of us do the educating, and that's okay. And people on either side are also going to have a problem with how you engage in the fight, but that's their problem. That's not yours. You got to be confident in how you show up.
No, I love that. I love that you've figured out where you fall in this ecosystem of change, right? Because we're always trying to scramble to figure out what that was. And I think particularly back in 2020, it was just like, man, if you're not saying anything on social media, people thought like you're not saying anything. Much like even now, if they say, you know, you're silent, you're complicit, like, you know, you don't stand for something, you're kind of towing the line. So I love that you found where you are in that ecosystem. But I've always wondered, just to kind of change pace a little bit, why the parking lot? Like, how did that come up?
Girl, I don't know. Let me tell you. Anybody who's ever wanted to do something, my story is epitome of just do it. Literally just do it and everything will fall into place. And the only reason why I even went outside is because I was going to start my show on YouTube and it was going to be a little bit longer. But I said, how can I stand out from people who are doing videos in front of their desk, in front of their bed, you know, doing the lifestyle type things? And I was like, I want people to scroll past and be like, what's she doing in her parking lot? And like all of it was a strategy to get folks' attention and keep folks' attention, because to DeVille's point earlier, I already knew coming in that people felt like they already knew everything there was to know about Black history, and it's just not true.
Yes. Right?
And also everybody that they hear it from is either trying to push something down their throat or just communicate in a way they cannot relate to. And that's also where I'm a Keep It Black, Keep It Brief came from, because after I think I made a longer video, it was like maybe 9 minutes, so it wasn't terrible. But my boyfriend and I were talking about how the attention span isn't there for my brand new concept.
Minutes. Mm-hmm. 6 minutes.
And so what he said to me is that you should do something short on Instagram and then tell them to come to YouTube. And I was like, no, because they're not going to do that either. I need to do it all within these 3 minutes on Instagram.
Yes.
So that's where I'm going to keep it black, keep it brief came from.
You're a genius for that. I'm going to tell you. How old are you, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm 28. And then
not a how old are you? 28. So you're 10 years my junior, mm-hmm. right? But literally, it was the same process we went through with content.
Literally.
It was, we have to create content that people want to see, right? Mm-hmm. So at first, it was like, let's create short videos and send them to YouTube. But then I was like, nah, because even on YouTube, they're not going to look past 6 minutes.
Right, exactly. And the analytics showed
us. Our point was 3 to 4 minutes. Mm. You can make a video 3 to 4 minutes. You can keep people's attention span, and they'll share it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's amazing to me that at 28, you were able to figure that out. I was a little bit older.
25.
But 25. You were 25.
I was 25.
Just do it.
I was
25.
How
just
wise.
Do it.
So insanely wise. And I mean, I was talking about this pre-show, but Lene and I actually met, I think for the first time in person at a Target event at Essence Festival. And it was just something about your spirit and your energy. And I'm just like, I know I'm going to see her again. And I have to see her again. And we're going to have to get her on the podcast, because just your energy and your space in that room and how sure you were of yourself. Like, that was just enough to have me. And I didn't keep in touch with many women. I mean, there was a room full of amazing women, but I'm just saying, someone who I know I wanted to be in their presence again. Mm-hmm. So I just love that. And I salute you, sis, for knowing at 25 that this was something that you were being called to do and sitting in that.
It's so funny that you say that, because I'm just remembering exactly where we met. And that was at the brunch for Target.
Yes.
Girl, when I tell you I was in shambles that day.
Really?
The stylist that I had, it just didn't correlate with where we were going. And I just, when I walked in that room and we were there with all of these big names and icons, I was like, I'm in here looking like a harlot. Nobody's going to take me seriously. I got like going to the bathroom to try to fix myself. And it's so funny because when it was time to speak,
I said,
oh, I get to say something. And now everybody will know that I'm serious.
baby. It's so funny how you were internalizing that, because I never would have been able to tell, first off. But the minute you opened your mouth to speak, I was just like, oh my goodness. Like, this girl has something to say. And I was listening, and I'm super happy.
Dang, I wish I was there.
It was for the girls. It was for the girls.
Ladies only.
Sorry.
I could still wish I was there. Man, y'all be speaking, and that's where you saw Tab too, right? Tab was there.
Tab wasn't at that event. No, we were there with, I think, Jasmine Guy, Nia Long.
Debbie Allen.
I remember that. Debbie Allen.
Yeah, it was a really, really great space to be in.
Yeah, that's a room full of heavy hitters.
Yeah, shout out to Essence Fest for always curating spaces, and arenas for us to get together and love on each other and inspire each other. Like, that's amazing. So I know that you are an artist that does many things. So before we wrap up, because I feel like, you know, we can totally unpack and have Lene back for like some specific.
Yeah, I would love specific, to have Lene back, because we're going through an election year this year coming up. And I'd rather have someone speak on what we as the Black community need to be focusing on.
Oh, for sure.
You know,
for sure.
I would love to have her back at some point.
So definitely pin us, girl, on your calendar.
Yeah, pin us, because we're going to have you back. You know, especially talking about the election.
For sure. But I know that you're a poet, you're a writer, you're an actress, you are a educator, so many things. You know, what do you see next for yourself? What do you see in your future? Only 28? I feel like you are on the cusp of, like, this is just the precipice of, like, your ability and your greatness. So is there anything that you foresee other than your teas coming out in the holiday season?
Yeah.
What do you want to do?
You know, what do I want to do? I've always wanted to tell stories. I've always wanted to tell stories with education at the center and at the helm, but trick people into learning something. I like to really... lace a really good narrative with information, and not just information, but experiences that expose people to new perspectives. And so that's what I want to do with TV. That's what I want to do with any book project that I'm working on. That's what I want to do. Like I said, the roots of my self-care brand is also based in that. So that's what I want to do all around. And I see an empire on its way, you know. And
yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
It's getting film director, writer, producer.
Yeah.
Look at the baby. Look at the...
You better own it. Own it and walk in it. I love that. I love that for you. Do you have anything else you want to ask Lene before
I do,
we let her
but
go?
But we don't have enough time.
I
love history. I love history. Like I do. Okay. And I would sit here and talk to you about history all day long. But I do want to dedicate a full podcast to talking about politics and what we can look forward to going into this next election year.
Yeah.
So, Janae, I just want to tell you that...
Lene.
Lene, my bad, Lene. Okay. I appreciate you so much
for what you do.
For what you do, because you don't know how many of your videos get shared amongst the young people that I mentor.
Mm.
And they'll send, because we always send each other books and stuff, mm-hmm. but it's always your videos. Be like, yo, check this out. Look what she said here. Look mm-hmm. like, and young men and young women.
Mm-hmm. And that's so good.
Because I think mm-hmm. you have a unique voice that for the next decade will be the voice of how mm-hmm. we as a generation are changing.
Mm-hmm.
Right, are changing the culture, changing the way we view the world, changing the way we view politics.
Yes,
and I feel like you're a thought leader in that. So I just want to say thank you.
Mm-hmm.
We appreciate you, and we're gonna keep in touch because in the next podcast we have, we're gonna have you on to talk about.
And we're
politics.
Over here raising four black boys in today's world, which is no easy feat. You know, it gives me—I can't speak for DeVal, but it just gives me anxiety. You know, just thinking about this world that we're putting them into. But what we're very deliberate about. We even did a travel show on Go USA where we took the boys to Birmingham, Alabama, and we went to the 16th Street Church, and we went to
Civil
Rights Museum, and we're very deliberate about making our boys immersing them in history and culture so they know exactly who they are and they know that they're equipped to do all the things, because they can do all the things, because why? They come from people who've done all the things given the circumstances. So I'm looking forward to continuing to learn from you and being a sponge, and then in turn being a vessel to be able to educate my children. Like you said, the work we're doing now is not, we're not going to feel the benefits for maybe our generation, but we're hoping for generations to come. So
absolutely.
I thank you for your work, Lene. We celebrate you today on Deadass Podcast.
Thank you.
And
you
let us know, let everybody know where they can find you. Let them know where they can find you and what you have coming up.
You can find me on the internet at Lene Vinny. You know, you can get hip to my brand launch at BaneByLV.com. That's BaneL. What? BYLV.
It's a lot to keep track of, I know.
But
it's okay.
You know what's going on over here, so just come by and find out what we're talking about this week.
Amazing.
Lene, thank you so much. We love
Parking
you.
Parking lot.
Love you, homie.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
We'll be back. All right, girl. Take care.
Peace.
Bye.
Peace.
All right, ladies, let's be real. Who here actually enjoys shaving their legs? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought so. And get this. Nair, yes, Nair, the OG that I used for years, has now leveled up. And they have these new sensational shower creams and body creams that smell amazing. My personal favorite, coconut oil and vitamin E, because it's gentle on my skin. And down to the body cream, rich cocoa butter and vitamin E body cream, which is a modern take on indulgent and classic femininity. Okay? It works in as little as 3 minutes, no nicks, no cuts, and the smooth skin lasts days longer than shaving. Nair's new sensational shower and body creams are free of all those nasty chemicals, so you can feel good about what you're putting on your skin. Have a me time moment with Nair, the number one hair removal brand. Smell for yourself. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams available at retailers nationwide and online.
There's power in every purchase, because every time we buy a Black-led brand, we make room for another Black-led brand. And y'all know I love my lip bar products. That's just one, to name a few.
There is a whole collection of Black-led products that fit into your daily routine. Show Black founders some love, not just during Black History Month, but all year long.
That's right, y'all. Black founders and the products they bring to the table are creating a whole new world of choices at Walmart.
That's right. Go to walmart.com/blackandunlimited to discover all the amazing Black-owned products you can add to your daily routine.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder,
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so we're back.
All right. That was a great segment with Lynae. Yes. I'm just so impressed by her. I told you, that time I met her at the Essence Fest brunch for Target, it was just a good time.
To me, to have the mental fortitude and the awareness to say at 25 that this is my calling, this is what I need to do, and to actually put forth the effort to get
it done.
Dope.
Having the idea and doing it. Because people, you know, we meet people that are at 40 trying to figure out what they're trying to do.
Facts.
You know, so it's a blessing to know and to execute. So shout out to our girl, Lynae. We're going to move into listener letters now because we want to hear from y'all. And we will dive right into the first one. You want to go first, babe?
I'll go first. You ready?
Go for it.
What's up, beautiful people? What's up? I'm such a huge supporter of you guys. Thank you so much. Anywho, how was it for you guys navigating through your relationship so young? Me and my boyfriend have been together since we were 17. We are now 22. We really don't have anyone who's been together since they were young. What advice do you have?
Girl, are you new to the show? We're 12 seasons in talking about this. And, you know, if you haven't heard yet, we have a New York Times bestselling book.
Facts.
Called We Over Me, The Counterintuitive Approach. Getting everything you want out of your relationship.
Facts.
And we literally talk about the inception of Kadeen and DeVal. Because not for nothing, a lot of people see us now and they're just like, I want a relationship like yours. I want a marriage like yours. Like, what did y'all do to get to here? And this is 21 years in the making, y'all. So I think a good place to start, because this is a loaded question. I mean, we probably can give a Cliff Notes version of like the advice, but we unpack so many things that we talk about in the book, because it talks about the meeting of two people who come from similar but also different backgrounds, how our childhood, our parents, our families helped to shape who we were as individuals, and then trying to grow as individuals and as young people.
Has she been watching the doc?
Oh, the doc.
Have you been watching the doc, young lady?
Yeah.
Love Against the World doc has been on Patreon. Are you subscribed to Patreon?
That's the bigger question.
Because all the answers is in the doc.
The doc and the book.
Get the book. You can get the book, put it on your lap, and watch the doc while listening to the podcast.
Simultaneously.
There you go. There goes all the answers.
Three references, three sources for advice. Bam.
But if you had to answer the question,
ask
each other what you need, what you require, and if you love each other, keep working to be there for each other.
For sure.
Don't listen to nobody else.
Nobody else's
opinions don't matter.
Nope.
Don't try to emulate nobody else. You will never be DeVal and Kadeen. You shouldn't want to be DeVal and Kadeen, because DeVal and Kadeen don't want to be nobody else, and we don't want nobody else to be like us.
Period.
So talk to each other, young lady. You 22. That's your best friend. You his best friend. Y'all get together, collab on what y'all want life to be like, and get it done.
My God, I love that for you.
See how I did that, Dan?
That was great.
I just footnoted the book, Dan, in about 30 seconds.
Footnotes or Cliff Notes?
Footnotes. Whatever. Is it footnotes?
Cliff Notes.
I call them footnotes.
Cliff Notes is the abbreviated version, but yeah, we'll footnotes too. So hope that helps, sis. But we do unpack a lot, in all seriousness, yes, in the doc, the book, and the podcast. I mean, if you listen from season one, and it's crazy to think we had season one. I think Deval and I both said recently that things that we said in season one and two and three, we may not even feel the same way now.
No, but it's the evolution.
It's like, a journey,
it's,
right?
It's the evolution.
You guys can follow the journey of like how we came to be, at least in your eyes, through the podcast.
I think it would make sense if you listen to season one all the way through, and then by the time you get to about season nine, mm-hmm, when we started filming here, mm-hmm, you'll see the differences, yeah, and realizing that being in love with someone means evolving.
For sure.
So I can't even give you an answer on how to make it. Mm-hmm. Be ready for ready to evolve and be ready for change.
For sure. Yeah. All right. On to the next one. Hi, Kadena Deval. I love you both, including your family, and I've been watching your videos since Roro was a baby. C-blocking Deval.
Facts.
They still do, still to an extent to this day. Kadena, my sister, I'm from Guyana. This question's for you.
GT.
Okay.
GT, my sister.
Hey, what's going on, Bana? All right. Throughout all my years of watching and listening to the podcast, I can't help but notice how much your libido from what you share with us has changed. I remember the podcast episodes where you mentioned that sex was just wasn't a priority for you, and now I hear Deval make jokes about how he can't keep you off him, and you make a lot more comments about sex and how enjoyable it is for you. What has changed? Do you have any advice? I'm young. My husband and I are 27, and we've been together since middle school. He's the greatest husband ever. So sexy, an amazing protector.
You better
provider.
Talk about your husband. You better, that's what I'm talking about.
It's giving my man. Thank
you,
to
talk
my
about
man.
That man. That's what I'm talking about.
And he still gives me butterflies when he comes home from work at the end of the day. I love this for you guys. We have one little girl, and with a little boy on the way, he meets all my needs and more, and I wish he could say the same about me, especially when it comes to sex, because it seems that that's what keeps him the happiest when we're intimate and he feels desired by me. Thanks. Thank you guys for all that you do. You both are truly role models for us. First of all, sis, shout out to you and your husband.
Yeah.
I love that you can speak so positively about him and the relationship, and that after time has passed, because that's usually what happens, people feel like things fall off over time, but that you guys are still so immensely into each other, and you're making it a priority to prioritize him and what he wants sexually. And like you said, if you've been listening and watching to the podcast, and even just go reference the last question from season one to season nine to now, things have definitely drastically changed for me. But you also said here that you have a little girl with a boy on the way.
Yes.
I will say that children was a big thing for me, and just libido, hormones, being in the mood, not being in the mood, feeling like yourself, not feeling like yourself, being fatigued and tired, still being fatigued and tired. It's like something that clicks in a woman when you become a mother, that you're just always tired all the time. So these are so many things that I know you're probably battling, that I have battled too. Another thing that we've realized that was a detriment to me was birth control.
Facts.
Birth control also too interrupted.
It affects
libido,
your libido,
your hormones, everything. And you can speak to that, Deval, too, because you've seen a great difference in everything. I mean, I'm still not matching his level of frequency and things like that, but there's definitely been a change in me since getting off of birth control.
Yeah, I mean, birth control does what it's supposed to do. Not only does it eliminate your, well, not eliminate completely, but lessen your chance of getting pregnant, but it also makes you not want to have sex as much.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's just part of birth control.
Yeah.
When Kadena finally got off birth control, her hormones regulated.
Mm-hmm.
And prior to that, the only reason why she was off birth control was to get pregnant. So then when she's getting pregnant, her hormones are not regulated.
Right.
So it's difficult to have a high libido, be into having sex when you're gaining and losing weight and your hormones are all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
It took me, and as an older gentleman, to understand what we were going through during that time, because while we were going through it, I didn't have the knowledge I had now. I was under the impression that Kadena's libido would still stay the same, and I didn't know that birth control was going to affect it, children were going to affect it, fatigue was going to affect it.
Mm-hmm.
Now that I'm older, what I do is make sure that my wife has the necessary space she needs to get the rest she needs during the day, so that she can bust it wide open in the nighttime. When
you
I
know
get
what I'm
here.
Saying?
So it's both sides. You know, I feel like women have to do a better job of understanding their own bodies. Men have to do a better job of understanding your wife's bodies, especially when they're going through pregnancy,
mm-hmm.
postpartum, prenatal, and also understanding fatigue. So if we, as a collection of humans, learn to understand a woman's bodies better, sex can be way more enjoyable, because then you'll understand why things are happening, and you won't take it on yourself as, I'm not desirable, that's why she's not in a mood.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's typically what happens. Men would feel like...
They internalize it.
Yeah, we internalize it just a lot like you guys internalize it. When your woman is not into you or she keeps rejecting you or she keeps turning you down, it then becomes what's wrong with me. And a lot of the times what I watch from guys who say what's wrong with me is they look for an outlet to prove to themselves that there's nothing wrong with them. So they'll cheat or they just get depressed and be like, something is wrong with me. And then...
You experienced that for a while too, for sure.
I thought I was like, what the fuck is wrong with me? Right. Like, I work out all the time. I make good money. I try to stay young. I compliment my wife. Like, what is wrong with me that she can't, you know, she doesn't want to be with me like that. And then she got her birth control. And then I got a vasectomy.
And then
it was a wrap. Because now I've been feeling tugs and grabs and rubs. And I'm like, yo, I'm like, where did this come from? And she'd be like, I don't need no rub, but it's here now.
You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? I also heard once you approach 40 that it's like, you know, take off.
Well, when you turn 40, you turn 40.
I got about T-minus about 6 weeks.
Can we push your birthday up? We can push it up to about tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? If you turn 40 tomorrow.
You know what I'm saying? I'm all for head starts.
I'm all for head. So you can start right now.
And on that note, if you'd like to be featured as a listener letter, how uncomfortable are y'all? Like, I want to know at this point. We're like a family unit. I feel like we're 12 seasons in.
Y'all uncomfortable?
I'm talking about like y'all listening. I'm like, you guys are probably just like, that's the Valen Kadeem being the Valen
You Kadeem. Let me tell a
Josh
whole story.
Josh is uncomfortable.
Josh ain't uncomfortable. You let me tell a whole story about you sucking dick when my mother was in the freaking audience and didn't even tell me.
I didn't realize that she was there. Like, they said your parents were going to come, but I didn't know they actually really came. Like, we kind of told our parents not to come to our shows.
It's a wrap now with Comfort Level. If I could tell a story about my wife sucking dick and my mother could be there laughing, I don't care what anybody else feel. I am sorry. Okay? My mom was laughing, so y'all going to have to deal with this.
Your dad's been a lot happier lately. Maybe they read the
book. I don't even know how we got here. I don't even know how we got here.
Yo, Scoop be hopping around this house. He be flying on the plane like, hey guys,
if you'd like to be featured as a listener letter, email us at deadass. No, I'm not going there with you. I'm not going there with you. My mom and my pops is off limits.
It's just what it is.
It's not that.
That's just what it is.
So let's talk about your mother.
Thank you to
let's
my man.
Let's talk about me and Papa then, if we're going to do that.
They live in the same house as us, so at least the house big enough if they did have any interactions.
Can we skip this all together? Like, I am done. I am so done with this whole conversation right now.
You started to read my tagline. Go ahead.
Yeah, because you keep talking about my mother.
Okay.
If you'd like to be featured as one of our listener letters, email us at deadassadvice@gmail.com.
That's deadassadvice @gmail.com.
Stop laughing. Josh, stop laughing. Matt, stop laughing. All right? My mom is a saint. Okay, I was born through immaculate conception.
Absolutely.
Remember Jesus, how Jesus was born? I was born the same way.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I could walk on water if you want to see
the
me.
And stork.
There's water in here. Y'all want to see me walk on it? Just put the water on the floor. I walked on it. Jesus the same.
Have a seat.
Is that sacrilegious to say you the same as Jesus? Call me DeVizus.
I'm joking, guys.
Because now people are going to take that clip of DeVal saying he's Jesus and post it. And
cut it, Tribble. Just cut it, just to be sure. Just to be sure.
Lipstick, I'm going to be on Lipstick Alley, whatever it was you was talking about yesterday.
Oh, God. Listen,
it was a joke. I don't believe I'm Jesus, okay?
Oh,
or Moses.
Lord.
No, share your moment of truth, please. this whole thing went left.
Far left.
And it happened when you talked about my mother.
My bad. Nobody be trying to involve your mother in nothing. So I hope that helps you, sis, to tie up that listener letter. And moment of truth time. Getting back to, what did we talk about today? Oh, Lene. We had Lene
Yeah,
Lene
see, you don't even know where your mind is right now.
Parking lot pimping.
Yes.
She was a great guest. What do you have to say to the folks as your moment of truth as we talk about staying abreast on social and political issues and all that good stuff?
This is my moment of truth. This is something that she brought up. Lene brought up, which I think made the most sense. We presented ourselves as entertainers first.
Mm-hmm.
So people were coming to us for an escape.
Right.
Which I completely respect and understand because based on what we talked about celebrity decorum, people don't necessarily want to hear from their entertainers when it comes about politics.
Right.
That doesn't mean that we don't have a responsibility, but don't expect people to want to hear it if that's not how that you were presented to them.
Yes.
Which I understand.
Right.
But that also leads me to this. People like Lene are needed.
Mm-hmm.
Are needed because there are plenty of uninformed and misinformed people who, if they didn't come across Lene's page, mm-hmm. would not understand what's going on in the very world we live in.
Absolutely.
And it's a shame that everyone has to resort to social media to get information, but that's where we are right now.
Right.
Okay, before social media was TV. Mm-hmm. Okay, and that doesn't make TV any better. And before that, it was books.
Yeah.
So right now, social media is a thing. And I want to applaud Lene for being 25.
28 now, but being 25
mm-hmm. and being convicted with the idea that she has to spread information that she knows, mm-hmm. but finding a very entertaining way to spread love mm-hmm. and spread facts.
You took all the moments of truth, because that was definitely going to be mine. I love that.
Oh, well, then you can piggyback off it. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, go for it. Did you want to finish your thought?
No, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm just saying my moment of truth is that sometimes you have to drown out the noise and find the outlets that make information digestible for you. Mm. And I love that she takes the approach of poetry. She's in her parking lot. Like she said, you're scrolling through yes. and you're just like, why is this girl sitting in an empty parking lot? It kind of brings you in. And then when you listen to her speak, yeah. how eloquent she is and how informed she is and how thorough she is with her information, yeah. it you can't help but to first admire her, but then actually learn something.
Yeah.
And I love avenues like that because we have a choice with what we consume. So why not choose a choice, choose a platform
right.
that you know you're going to get good information and the delivery is always on point. So shout out to Lene. Hope you guys follow her on Parking Lot Pimpin'. Oh my, I'm tongue tied today. Hope you guys follow her on Parking Lot Pimpin' and all that good stuff. And continue to follow us. If you have not joined Patreon yet, get on there. The documentary is live and underway.
Yes.
I am so excited about how everything came together. I hope you guys have been watching and enjoying. If you haven't yet, join Patreon to see exclusive Deadass Podcast content as well. And you can find us on social media. You can find us at Deadass the Podcast. I'm Kadeen Iam.
And I am Devout. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, be sure to rate, review, and subscribe. And also, make sure you get your tickets mm-hmm. to Love Against the World Tour. VIP is sold out, but we have a lot of good seats left. I think we're probably at about over 50% capacity at this point, and we still have
most cities.
About 3 more months left. So,
yeah.
Hey, get your tickets, because I don't want to hear nobody hitting me up around January talking
or hitting
about
up our team.
Facts. Oh, this is the last thing I'm going to say, man. Don't be emailing and adding people on the team, telling them to get you in, to sneak you into the VIP. That's not how I work. It's not. And if you're going to be there VIP, make sure you bring your books. Mm-hmm. If you don't have a copy, it's We Over Me, the counterintuitive approach to getting everything you want out of your relationship, available everywhere.
Come on,
physical yeah. copies and audio.
It's holiday time. So listen, get your friend, get your boo tickets to the show. That's a great holiday gift, I think.
Yes.
Couple it with the book. You got a whole little bundle deal going on.
Yes.
Right?
And last but not least, remember this. My mom is a virgin and I'm here for Immaculate Conception. Deadass! Cut! Deadass is a production of iHeartMedia Podcast Network and is produced by Denora Pena and Tribble. Follow the podcast on social media at Deadass the Podcast and never miss a thing.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference.
That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule.
It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's Better, H-E-L-P.
It's time to celebrate Black History Month at the Walmart Black and Unlimited Clock. One at Flatiron Plaza in New York City and one at Ovation Hollywood in Los Angeles from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. With giveaways dropping every hour on the hour, it's a perfect time to try, like, and share Black-led products. It's free for everyone, and it's your chance to see how you can level up your daily routine with Black-led products that are creating a new world of choices at Walmart. Trust, you don't want to miss it.